If we thought this was hard, I think next week is even worse. So don't wait. Don't wait to start. Okay. Well, we're going to look at the chart today. I know a lot of us are confused about the chart, and they don't give us a cheater chart. You know, you think as in the leader book, they would have a little cheater chart that would show you how to fill it out right, where the little spaces in the middle were supposed to be for, and all that, but there's none of that, so you're stuck with what I figured out as far as, you know. So I'm hoping y'all have a lot of good insight on all this and how it all relates. I think as we went through it last night, I started to see that there was some relation between the different things, so we'll see what you guys have found as you went through as well. Okay, so we saw in chapter 4, that the Lamb was worthy. What was the Lamb worthy to do? Okay, there was that scroll, and John was weeping because no one could open it. And then he saw the Lamb, and the Lamb was worthy to open the book. Why was the Lamb worthy? Okay, he was slain because of his what? Because of his blood. Okay, so he was worthy to open the seals. So let's go through. We didn't really talk about this much last week, so we're going to go through the whole chart from first seal through to seventh bowl, and we're going to see what we see, okay? And it's going to be just a cursory observation because that's all we're really doing, isn't it? And we're going to look for any links between things so we can see how things possibly link up. Come on in, ladies.
Room up here.
We're into round tables and windows this week, so enjoy.
Which way?
Yep, room over there. Mm-hmm. Okay, got your charts out? What was the first seal? When the Lamb opened the seals progressed through. So what was the first one? Okay, the white horse. That was in chapter 6, wasn't it? Now, what was significant about the white horse? What was his rider? Okay, he was a conqueror. He had a bow. What was significant about the white? What do you think of when you think of the white and him being a conqueror? No, it's not. That's right. What's that?
An imitator.
Okay, an imitator, the white horse. How did he conquer, more than likely? What? No, not with the white. What would you think of? Peace, yeah. That he came as a peaceful conqueror, didn't he? He was conquering the people, but it wasn't by means of shed blood. He was a peaceful conqueror. Probably a lot of, political, yeah. Okay, so that was the first one, the white horse, chapter 2, or chapter 6. Okay, what was the second one? All right, the red horse. Now, what did the red horse do? What's that? All right, so he's taking the peace away. So we see that there was peace from the white horse, but now there is no peace because the rider on the red horse is taking the peace away. And what's the result of that?
War.
Okay, war. There's men slaying one another, and he's given a what? Okay, the great sword. So you envision this being a time of upheaval as far as war goes and many people dying. If he has the great sword, they're killing each other. All right, then the next one that follows that is what? All right, the black horse. This seems like a natural progression in a sense, isn't it? You start off with a time of peace, you enter a time of war, and then what's next as a result of the war? What's that? Yeah, and particularly in food, right? There's a big food shortage. There's a time of famine. And how do we know that? Right. Weighing out the food. That, yeah, in inflation, that's a good word for it, that the food now, to get a portion of food, you have to spend a whole day's wage. I don't know what we do about this because I'm out of work.
It's flipped over.
Let me reattach it. Okay, so it's famine, which seems to follow after war, that there's going to be famine, right?
Diane, I have a question on that. Isn't that famine while or why? You talked about that, but I can't remember what that referred to.
What do people really need? They need the food, right? And so there's a shortage of food, but the things that maybe the richer people could only afford to buy anyway, there's no end of that, plenty of that, but is not available for the people that have no money, I think. Okay, what's the fourth seal? Okay, the ashen horse. And what was the ashen horse? Death. And who followed after death?
Hades.
Okay, Hades followed after death. Which, once again, is kind of the natural progression as far as it goes, that when there's the war and then famine, that death is going to be close behind, because if people don't have the right food, then what's going to follow? What's going to be the consequence of that? Yeah, famine, pestilence, the kind of the unbalancing of nature, the animals looking for food, so there's going to be people dying from the wild beasts. So death, Hades following him, who does that tell you mostly is dying then? Those earth dwellers, yeah. All right, then what is the fifth seal? We have a little change here, don't we? We're done with the horses. Okay, we see that altar, don't we? And who is under the altar? Okay. The martyrs. And what are they asking?
How long?
Okay. And we don't know if these are martyrs from all down through the ages, along with the martyrs that have now come out of this time of terror, really, because it's beginning and people are being killed because we have the earth dwellers dying, but we know that as this goes along that there's persecution against the believers as well.
This would not be a politically correct prayer. But it definitely is God's will, correct?
Yes, for sure. Because what does the Lord answer them?
Wait, a little longer.
Yeah, you just wait, rest a little longer until what? Until it's all done, until everyone that's going to be martyred, everyone that's going to be killed that belongs to him, is complete. So we get that picture that vengeance is coming, and apparently it hasn't come yet, has it? Even though there's all these things going on, the vengeance hasn't come yet. What's a sixth seal? Okay, now we see the things happening on the earth besides the famine and all that. There's the great earthquake. What happens to the sun? Black is sackcloth, which is, and the moon, what happens to the moon?
Like blood.
Okay, the moon like blood. And the sky, what does that look like when the sky splits apart like a scroll? I can't even quite imagine what that is. But when it does, what happens to the mountains and the islands?
They're all moved.
Okay, they're all moved. So the earthquake is causing great upheaval in the earth and on the heavens. And when this all happens, all this natural, unnatural phenomenon, what happens to the people? What do?
Go hide.
Okay. They hide. You got to remember, this comes on the heels of all this other stuff, you know? So they're already, you know, something's going on, but they're hiding themselves from who? Okay, so there's some sense about, from the people, even though they're the earth dwellers who do not acknowledge God, and we're going to say they don't repent, in the same time, they do recognize what? Yeah. That initial recognition, and this is what I've seen this in people, individuals, that there's an initial recognition that it's God doing something, but then what happens to the heart? It gets hard. And then we kind of see that turning farther into unrepentance. But at this point, they're hiding from God. And they're saying, boy, the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand? And we know they aren't, are they? Then what's the interlude there? There's a little interlude, which...
144,000.
Okay, we have the 144,000 sealed where? What's that? On their foreheads? On their foreheads. And then who else do we see? Okay, the great multitude before the throne. So we're getting that like glimpse of something else going on here, and that's in chapter 7. And then what do we see in chapter 8 before the seventh trumpet is sounded? The seventh seal, excuse me. Seventh seal. There's silence in heaven for a half. This is, to me, one of the most curious statements in the whole Bible. It's such a something we don't think about time existing in heaven at all, do we?
It's specific.
I know it. Not
that's
just for a little while.
About a time period.
Yeah. That there's a silent period of a half an hour in heaven. So all that we saw chapter 4 about all the, and 5, all of the commotion in heaven, everything is quiet. Perfectly quiet. I can't even imagine what silence is like in a place like that, where there's no traffic sounds or anything either to, you know,
exactly.
Silent.
But back in, I think it was 1992, there was an ice storm. I lived up in Kokomo at the time. There was an ice storm that took out all electricity. And you go, I mean, even in your house, you don't hear the motors. You don't hear, you know, the refrigerator, the furnace. You don't hear any of that. And then you go outside and you can't hear anything either because the cars, nobody's going anywhere. And that's as close as I can get to this, you know, to this silence.
Yeah,
it's just, but then there probably aren't people talking again either. So.
Just a deafening silence. Okay, so when the silence is complete, that complete silence, what happens? Okay, so out of that seventh seal come these seven angels who are given trumpets. And then what else do we see, Ruth? Okay, the prayers of the saints. Okay, the incense, the prayers of the saints. And I hadn't, you know, I hadn't thought of this until you, in your prayer, the idea of the saints under the altar, you know, asking, as they're asking, how much longer until like we're avenged, and praying, in actuality, aren't they? They're praying. And then when that prayers are, not only theirs, but others, mixed with that incense, and then the fire from the altar added to that, and then what happens? What do they do with that? It's thrown to the earth. Answers are coming, aren't they? Because when it's thrown to the earth, what happens?
Peals of thunder, flashes of lightning, earthquake.
Yeah, the answers are going to start coming. All that commotion, that, wow, now it's going to start. So the angels are prepared to sound the trumpets in the seventh seal.
I mean, can I ask this question? Just interlude, the timing, we don't know that, or... It seemed odd that that's put there and then we move on. So,
yeah.
Okay. It's kind of one of those things I was like.
Yeah, I'm hoping we understand that. We have a whole other year and all this to figure it out. We can just keep pushing it down the road. And as we go on, I think we're going to see it, the time is interesting in the whole book, because as we look at the seals and then the trumpets and then the bowls, they seem to line up in a way that you kind of feel like they have to be happening at the same time, some of them. But I don't know how that really works out in time. Yeah.
I just wonder if, as Wayne Lecture pointed out several lessons ago, we are seeing the throne room of heaven. And when you see the throne room of heaven as his servant, he's showing you what is happening. And this is the throne room, isn't it? In chapter 7? What's going on?
I think one thing that's so hard for us is that God is outside of time and space. And we just can't think outside of time and space.
True, because for him, everything's happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's that sense of it. And yet we're given this laid out in what seems to be a time thing. And then we have the half an hour in heaven, you know. It's just, so it's all interesting.
Correlation like 1,000 years is a day to man,
Definite time frames given.
And so you wonder what half an hour would be. It can be a short time because of a biblical generation, 4 years, after 1,000 years,
a day. Yeah, we have the list, you know, the Jerusalem being trampled under for a certain amount of time, and these things happening for a certain amount of time. So it's very tricky. Yes?
You may be going to ask this later, but you're supposed to mark about the wrath of God when he shows up. And it shows up here in the sixth seal. So they all say the great day of their wrath is coming.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
That's interesting. Sixth seal is what they try to recognize. This is the wrath of God. And this is the evidently this is the beginning. You
know, the number six is the number of man. And the natural man is recognizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've also been talking about that silence in heaven. If that's when God's wrath starts, then that could be kind of like Tara would say this, the calm before the storm. Like, oh.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Yeah.
Okay, you know, we're used to, it's always calm before
That crazy silence that's eerie. And, Yeah.
All these people that it's coming on know it's coming as far as, I mean, they can see this, and they don't like what they see.
But it's not causing to repent, is it?
Not at all.
But we know that throughout the tribulation, there are people that are saved. Yes. So there are some that will recognize it in a saving sense. But then there's those that recognize it like the devil recognizes God's work that doesn't repent, does he? Okay. Let's look at the trumpets. First trumpet sounds, what chapter, what verse? Okay, chapter 8, verse 7. And what happens when that first trumpet goes? Okay. We have hail and fire mixed with blood thrown to the earth. We think of that. That censer that was thrown down. It was thrown to the earth, and when it was thrown down, what happened to the earth? Okay. A lot of destruction. A third of the earth, a third of the trees, and all of the what?
Green grass.
All of the green grass, all burned up. All gone. Yeah.
Okay, I have on my chart, who's blood? It says hail and fire mixed with blood. Who's blood?
I would think it would be that it would be bringing death, because you couldn't have the third of the earth burned up and a third of the trees and the green grass all burned up without causing some casualties.
So even though the ecology is being affected, of course when that's affected, people die.
I think so. Yeah. If it's all, come on in. Sorry.
So we just read blood as a sign of death?
I think so. A couple here. All right. So we have a third. It's a third, right? It's only a partial destruction here. Okay, then the second trumpet, what happened? All right. We have that something like the great mountain that's thrown into the what? Okay, into the sea, into the salt water, and what happened? Okay, how much of it became blood? A third of it became blood, and what else happened then? Okay, a third of the ships, a third of the sea creatures are gone. But once again, it's not a complete destruction, is it? It's a partial destruction. Why is it only a partial, do you think? Okay. All right. Yeah.
This is where I have a hard time reconciling in my mind them happening at the same time, because in the trumpets, he's very clear about it being a third.
Yes.
And in the bowls, he's very clear about it being all.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't be both.
No, I know.
So time-wise, I don't see how they can occur simultaneously, because you can't burn up a third and all.
No, there's just like something else that
I think there's a parallel.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Between what's happening, but
I don't,
time-wise, I don't know how to say that they...
No, that's right. Yeah, I know. Okay, so we have the third, and right, for the chance of people to that would repent, to repent. They can't say that God wasn't merciful in giving them time to repent. And they may shake their fists at God and curse him, but God is giving them a chance, if they would turn to him, to repent. Okay, then the third trumpet, what happened? Okay, we have wormwood and we have the fresh water supply. What happened to the fresh water supply? Yeah. One third. And when that happened, because men depend upon the fresh water to drink, what happened? Okay, we have many people dying, many of them dying. Okay. And the fourth trumpet. All right, we have the sun and the moon and the stars, but how much of them? A third of them. So the third of the day, a third of the night is affected by this change in the light. And can you imagine the cycle that, you know, our earth moves by the cycle of the earth and the sun and the growth and everything else. And if a third of the sun is darkened and a third of the moon and the stars are falling out, things are in a cataclysmic state.
If I can go back just a second to about the third of the earth being burned, does that mean it was burned out of existence? Or is it just be burned like a forest fire?
I would think so. I think that's probably what it is. Yeah, because the earth will still be here for quite a bit yet. Okay, so we have a third of the sun, moon, and stars, so that the days and the nights being affected, messing up everybody's sleep and everything else, and the growth of the crops, everything. And then after that happens, what happens? Okay, we have the eagle flying overhead, and he's announcing how many woes?
Three.
Three woes. It's not just that he likes to say it three times, there are actually three woes coming. So there's the announcement of the three woes that are coming, and that is in check. Halfway? Probably. Okay, the three woes. Okay, then we have the first woe is connected to the witch trumpet. Okay, the fifth trumpet. And what happens at the first woe? Okay, we have that star falling from the heaven. And what was he given? Okay. I think this can't be good, right? Given that key to the bottomless pit. And what comes out when he opens up the door? Okay. Smoke, darkness, and what? The locusts. The locusts are coming. Now, what's strange about the locusts? What do they not eat? Okay, not eat the green things, which is what locusts. We used to have the big locust plagues, in the even in our country in the old, like in the 1800s, I'm sure before that, they ate everything green, didn't they? I talked about Little House on the Prairie last night, and everybody laughed. But that was a good show. It showed us what history was like in our country. And how when those locusts came, the black cloud, it was like the description here of the smoke and all that, that black cloud of locusts that came, and it just advanced like an army. And I remember them sitting in their house with everything closed up, and they can hear them marching. The words were even there, marching over the house and marching around and eating everything in their wake. So these locusts, they have that kind of same appearance, but they don't eat anything green. What do they do instead? Okay, they torment the people. Which people do they torment? Okay. And it's a torment such that men would rather what?
Die.
They really would like to just die because they can't hardly stand it. Yeah.
I have a question about, it says that, this is going back, but they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, that the grass of the earth is already
burned up, right?
Well, grass, but then grass does what, too? It grows back. I think the grass does grow back. It does, and we have a drought, and the grass is all burned up, and it does come back, but they're not to get him.
I had a problem with the woes and where to put them. Is this first woe the having to do with the bottomless pit or the star from heaven, or is the first woe the locust?
I think it's combined together.
Okay.
That he opens up the door to this terrible thing that comes that torments them so much that they want to actually die. They want to die, but can they die?
No.
Somehow, they can't. They can't. So I guess if you throw yourself off a building, you don't even die. You know, whatever you might try to do, you cannot die. Say, so, yeah.
The thought that came to me when I read about that is that God is in control of what he done. And even in this, he's still in control of what these people die. And they may be totally miserable, but it isn't their time to die.
No. We see God in control of this whole thing. He gives the trumpets. He tells the angels when to sound the trumpets. He's in total control. And yes, he is in control when we die. It's his call on that. He knows how many minutes we have. Okay, so that's the first woe, is the fifth trumpet. What's the sixth trumpet? Which woe is that associated with? Okay, the second woe. What happens?
Release of the four angels at the Euphrates.
Okay, so we have the Euphrates River, the four angels released, and how long have those four angels been there? Sounds like forever. They had been there since, you know, maybe since the fall when, you know, the earth was. So there they were, and they're holding something back. Now when they who are prepared for this exact moment in history are released, what happens? What comes forth? 200 million horsemen. Can you even fathom such a thing, an army of 200 million? And we know, and going back to the locusts, we don't know for sure that they are, by the description of them, they may or may not be actual bugs. You know, we think about Joel and what were the Syrian army described as? Back in that book, it's locusts, right? It's like being like locusts that came over. So we don't know for sure if this was another military thing that was putting something out that was a scourge on people or what. But here now we have the 200 million soldiers coming, and what happened? Okay, a third of the mankind is going to be killed as a result of what comes from their mouths. Right, the plagues, fire, smoke, brimstone, whatever that is, it's going to kill one third of mankind. That's a lot of people that are going to die. We've already had a lot of them die, right? So it's once again, it's one third. But what happened to the rest? What happened to the two thirds? How do they respond after their? Okay, they don't repent. They don't repent of what? Okay, their idolatry, their demon worship. I mean, it gives you a list of what they don't repent of. It's not just they don't repent. They don't repent of their demon worship, their idol worship, their murders, their sorceries, their immorality, and their thefts, which gives you a good view of what earth is going to be like at that time. What's man going to be like? You think of this as being a common thing that's going on during those days. Totally depraved, yeah. If they're into their demon worship and their idol worship and their sorcery, this is what's going on. Maybe as a combatant against what they feel like is coming, but it's evil like we've probably never seen before that's going on. They're not going to repent of it, even though all this is going on. A third of them dead. Okay, in the interlude here, what happens? Okay, John is going to eat that book. We have that mighty, strong angel, big angel coming. And what is he holding? The little book.
Do you think it's the same book that we see in the throne room since all the seals have been broken and now the book is open? Or do you think it's a different
one? Doesn't say that it is. It's a little scroll. So I think it's maybe a different one. We'll find out as we go on. But I think it's different because when he eats it, what happens? Okay, it seems to have a message of its own, and then it starts off, it's sweet because it's what? It's God's word. So it's sweet when he takes it in, but as it goes into his stomach, what does it affect? How does it affect him? Okay, it's bitter because he's going to have to prophesy now against who? Okay, against many people and kings and all that, and it's going to be a message of what? Of judgment. So it's bitter. And then we have what else during this interlude? But before John even gets the scroll, I think, what happens? What's that?
Temple's measured and the worshipers are measured.
Okay, the temple's measured, and then...
the altar's measured.
Yes, the altar is at, let's see, what chapter? Chapter 10, right? Okay, we're on chapter 10, still here first. The seven peals of thunder, and they sound out, and whatever they say, John is there to write it all down, isn't he? But what is he told? Okay, don't write it down, seal it up. This isn't for everybody to know this. And of course, we all want to know what it is, don't we? We don't know, because we can't know. But maybe someday we'll know what it is, but he's not. He's told he can't. He cannot write it down.
Do you think the seven peals of thunder is actually the Holy Spirit? Because they describe them as seven spirits in front of the throne in the earlier chapters?
I don't know. We can see. I don't know. I hadn't thought of that. It's possible. But he definitely hears that, those seven voices. And then what is the angel that he sees in verse 5 say? He lifts his right hand up. Okay. Well, what does he say? Okay, there's going to be no more delay. Okay, no more delay. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, which is about to sound, what's going to happen? Okay, the mystery of God is to be finished. So you're going to write that in your little interlude space there. The mystery of God is going to be finished. That he spoke to his prophets, his servants, the prophets. And then he gets the book now, and he's supposed to prophesy. So that's kind of the introduction to his prophecy that there's more coming. And then in 11, we see the story of who? The witnesses. And the witnesses that are doing what? What are they doing day and night? Prophesying, right? They are God's prophets. We have all this other stuff going on, but God has his prophets, 144,000, and these two witnesses that are continuously, by their signs that they're performing and their words, they're trying to draw men to repentance, aren't they? But what is the... what's the response that they get? Do they like them? Yeah. No. So that when the beast finally kills them, what happens?
Party on.
Yeah. The word picture is so great here.
It's like the contrast. Heaven worships what God is doing and praises his sovereignty, while the nations are enraged about it. In verse 3, is this the first place, I think it's verse 3, that this voice roars like a lion?
Which chapter are we on?
Chapter 10, verse 3, the loud voice as when a lion roars. I'm not saying this is Christ, but is this a kind of a pivotal point for judgment?
I think so, because it talks about the no longer a delay. With the lion and the strong angel, the lion, yeah, and the seven peals of thunder, and yes. So we have the witnesses then dying at the hand of who? The beast, right? The beast is going to kill him, and then we have all the big woohoo party in heaven, and them not being buried, and then we know that they're going to be resurrected, and when they're resurrected, what happens? What's that?
God says, come here.
Yeah, and when they go up and the enemies watch them, it's kind of like when Jesus was resurrected, isn't it? In the earthquake and all that. Because there's an earthquake, 1/10 of the city fell, 7,000 people killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God in heaven. Now, what does that mean that they gave glory to God in heaven? They're acknowledging what? That God did it. But they do not repent. It's not that they're worshiping. They're acknowledging the truth about what's going on.
Earlier you said the second woe was when the horsemen came. But then over here on verse 14 in chapter 11, it says the second woe is past.
It's already passed.
So is that when the, it's in the same chapter with the witnesses.
The second woe is the sixth trumpet, because they said woe, woe, woe to those with the blast of the last three trumpets. So we know that the second woe is the sixth trumpet, and what happens to the sixth trumpet. And then the third woe will be what trumpet? Okay, the seventh trumpet, because they're lined up with the last three trumpets. So we have the seventh trumpet coming then in verse 15. The second woe is past, the third is coming quickly, right? So all this happened, that could all be related to the trumpet, all that interlude too. I don't really know. Does anybody know for sure? Anybody have a good feeling about that, one way or the other? Is all that related to the second?
Yes.
Woe? Okay. All right. So then, the 15 then, the seventh angel is going to sound, and when the seventh trumpet sounds, what do we hear? It's very important. Okay, the Hallelujah chorus, right? We can all sing it. Okay, so the kingdom of this world has become what? Okay, the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders worship God, and they're thanking him because he has taken his what?
Great power.
His great. And begun to reign. And so there's something significant about this seventh trumpet in the kingdom of God, and we can see that his kingdom has now come. And then what do we see in verse 18 and 19? Okay. God's wrath has come. The time has come for them to be what? The dead to be judged, for the bondservants and the saints, and those who fear your name, the great and the small, and to destroy, that's the reward, and then to destroy the earth. So there's definitely something coming. And those who destroy the earth is probably not talking about people that don't recycle. I don't think you can pull that out and use that here. Okay. So really, who is destroying the earth? It's God doing it, but why is he doing it?
It's judgment.
It's judgment on who?
On
unbelievers, so, and these that are shaking their fist at God. So in essence, really, who is destroying the earth? It's the people, really, because of their sin, the earth is being destroyed. It's not that God is just destroying the earth for no reason. He is, because of the sin and the rebellion, he is destroying the earth. But it's really them, and the judgment is coming to them. And then we see the temple of God in heaven opened, and the Ark of the Covenant appearing, the lightning and the thunder and the earthquake and the hailstorm, knowing that there's big things coming.
Kind of like the earth was affected in Genesis.
By sin. Yeah. And we know from Romans that the whole earth, the whole creation groans, waiting to be set free. When men are set free, then the earth will be set free. So sin affects the earth. Okay, let's look at the bowls now, because we have the sign in heaven, the interlude here, we have the woman, and all that, and we're not going to go into all that. I think we're going to go past that. We see the 144,000, we see the mark of the beast, and all that coming is all kind of in between all of these things. And the 144,000, them being described, is what their lives are like. And then we see the reaping of the earth in chapter 14, don't we? We see the earth being reaped. And the vine, the grapes being thrown into the vat. And then in chapter 15, we see another sign. What is another sign that we see in chapter 15? I don't know. I just wrote it all on there somewhere, and hopefully we'll see. That's the seventh trumpet. Whoa. Yeah. woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath. And that could be the woe, really, is that he's been thrown down then, because we have the war, don't we? We have, of course, the woman, and then we have the war in heaven. Who's fighting in this war? Okay, we have Michael fighting, and his angels fighting against, okay, the devil and his angels, right? And who won? Okay, Michael and his angels won. And when Michael and his angels won, what happened to the devil and his angels? Okay, they are kicked out of heaven. And this is significant because up to that point, what access to heaven did Satan have? Yeah, we know from the book of Job that he could come into the throne room, couldn't he? Because he would talk to God, and he's the accuser of the brethren who could day and night accuse the brethren of offending God. And Jesus, of course, there is our defense. But at that point, he's thrown down to the earth. And so probably this is all part of the seventh trumpet and the third woe. Because when he's thrown down, what happens? Okay. That's what I have done on my thing, actually. I'm just confused about everything. Yeah, okay. Okay. And so we have him, when he's thrown down, what happens to the, what happens? It's a big deal. Okay, what does he realize?
Well, he realizes his time is short, and so he turns against the Jewish people, where it says have
turned down to persecute the woman.
Okay, right, the time of Jacob's trouble. He's going to persecute, go after the Jews.
Evil toward the Jews on steroids.
Yes, yes, way more than we've seen. Even worse than Hitler. I mean, it's going to be way worse.
Does that mean he has access to heaven at this time?
He does. He does. If we read the book of Job, that's where we get that picture of that, is that, you know, he's, you know, Jesus, he comes in and God asks him, so what have you been doing today? Oh, just wandering around the earth. And we see that in, you know, in the New Testament too, that he wanders, but then he is accuser of the brethren. So he wanders around, causing trouble, and then going back. And
Peter says he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
He's going to be worse then, isn't he? It's going to be much, much worse. Okay. Where are we? Okay, let's go to the seven. If we go to chapter 16 then, we'll start a whole new little cycle here. And he hears a voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and do what?
Pour out the seven bowls.
Okay, so we saw those seven angels with those seven plagues, because in them is the what? Okay, the wrath of God is
finished.
So they have their seven bowls, their seven plagues, but in them the wrath of God is going to be complete. So this is, we have a heads up. This is the last. This is going to be the end. This is the last big cycle. This is it. When this is done, it's done. It's finished. So you want to write that on your chart. This is where
after the seven bowls is when the wrath of God is actually finished.
Yes, but it's announced at the beginning of the seven bowls, yeah. But it will be, yes. And then he says that, you know, there's that glorifying of God because his righteous acts have been revealed. And so it's a good thing that he's doing all this, and the nations are going to praise him in the end because his righteous acts are going to be revealed. And he is the king of the nations. So we have...
The phrase, they deserve it. Yeah, should be very... Something kind of ominous. And that they praise, like, as humans, like, we don't have that kind of righteous judgment. Like, you can't pronounce. It's really hard for us in a sinless manner to look at someone and say, you deserve that. You know, and our justice system is, you know, tries to do that in a righteous way. But the fact that that's the phrase that John wrote to describe is really interesting to me. I thought that was
Well, it's the angel saying it, isn't it? The angel who has, well, we haven't got any. Let's go back and look at the first one. Okay, so the seven bowls of the wrath of God are about to be poured out. So the first angel pours out his bowl, and what happens?